Sometimes it appears that the readings we have at Mass are kind of disconnected. For example, why would we have a first reading that says a beautiful, gives us a beautiful explanation of a worthy wife from the book of Proverbs, and then we have a story about worthless servants not making enough money by investing their master's talents in the bank? All these things actually are connected when you look at the seasons of the church's year. We're coming to the conclusion of the church's year as we celebrate the Feast of Christ the King next week and the first Sunday of Advent the week after that. It's a time of beginning. But right now we're focusing on the Lord's return. Last week we heard in the Gospel about the wise and foolish virgins, the wise virgins who were awaiting the bridegroom and were prepared, and the foolish ones who were unprepared and went off to buy oil whenever the bridegroom came back. The same thing happens with us as the servants of God. With the gifts he has given us, what are we going to give him in return? Remember that Christ, the bridegroom, is coming to retrieve his bride, the church. And that's where we see the connection of the readings. The church is the bridegroom, Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride, and Christ coming to receive us. And the fruitfulness he expects from us as his bride, the church. So let's go back to the very beginning. At the beginning of the world, as we all know, God makes the first two human beings, Adam and Eve. They were the crown gem of creation. While the rest of the world, certainly in all its natural beauty and its wonder, reflected the beauty and power of God, only Adam and Eve were made in his image and were given the power of self-understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and love. So Adam and Eve are the original bridegroom and bride. Bone of bone, flesh of flesh, they were two, yet one. Two, yet one. They were drawn to each other not only by their physical beauty, but also by their minds and their hearts. Adam and Eve were of one mind and of one heart, as husbands and wives should grow to be. And they were deeply in love, as husbands and wives should be. And God, looking at them, was pleased with this. Then he gives them a great gift. A great gift in the form of a commandment. That is the first commandment that God gives in Scripture as he says to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. So God has given to human beings the power to reproduce. Not simply out of instinct, desire, or need as with the rest of the animals, but as an act of love. And more so, not only as an act of love, but even as an act of worship. They were to give themselves to each other, open up their lives to new life out of love for God and in obedience to him, out of love for one another. Adam and Eve would come together, not just physically, but rationally, willingly, freely, and lovingly, to offer each other as a gift to each other, and in that exchange, bring forth new life. Children. Children with immortal souls. Children who were also made in God's image. Not only their parents, but in God's. As the church teaches us, parents welcome children as God's gift in their lives, and of course, by God's grace, raise them according to the teachings of Christ and the church. They teach their children the difference between good and evil, teaching them always to choose the good and reject the bad, and at times, if need be, to punish them when bad is chosen over good. Parents do everything in their power to teach their children charity and responsibility. You educate them and you form them to be good and productive adults, to be faithful Christians who help to contribute to the building up of a Christian society. That is the fruit of the union between a husband and a wife. Their family and their love for each other. In the sacrament of holy matrimony, a husband and wife become a living image of the loving union between Christ and his church. So just as man and his wife are two but one flesh, so the church and Christ are two, but yet called to be one. That we are drawn to Christ, drawn to one another by a deep and immense love that leads us into becoming one mind, one heart with Christ. You see this most especially in the Eucharist, in Holy Communion, where we come up to the altar, and as an act of love, an act of worship, we fulfill Christ's command to take and eat, to take and drink, his body that was given up for us and his blood that was poured out for us in order that we can remain in him and Christ would remain in us. So as believers, we approach this altar not out of mere duty or out of custom or routine, but we come to this altar out of love, out of worship, out of willing obedience to Him who is love itself. We come together rationally, willingly, freely, lovingly to offer ourselves to Christ as He offers Himself to us, as gifts to one another, and in that exchange, we bring forth new life. So what is the fruitfulness of our relationship with Christ? As St. Paul describes, the fruits of our intimacy with Christ would include these things: a deeper and deeper love for Him, a care and concern for the good of one another, a peaceful soul, and a desire to cultivate peace in our families, our communities, our world. It's to develop a spirit of patience with ourselves and with others, and with God even, allowing God to work in us, through us, in His own time as He sees fit, and not becoming anxious, excited, or worried. It's to persevere in patient endurance throughout all the different trials and setbacks of life, to deal lovingly and patiently with the weaknesses of other people, to be truly good people, to be truly good and generously kind, never seeking any reward. It's to be faithful to God, faithful to your spouse, faithful to your families, your friends, and never to betray anyone. It's to be gentle, never harsh or demanding, and to control our passions and our tongues. These are the fruits of our relationship with Christ. As the first reading from Proverbs says of a worthy wife, the bride, that is us, the bride of Christ, must seek to bring our spouse, Christ, good. Bring our spouse, who is Christ, good and not evil all the days of our lives. Think about it this way. Christ has entrusted His heart to us, and He has given us from His treasury a great amount of talents. Now, talents in the days of Jesus was a monetary denomination, as we all see. But we use that word talent to kind of describe the gifts and abilities that we have of mind, of body, of soul. But He's given us all these things with which we are to work hard and produce good fruit. As the wife in the book of Proverbs, we're to put our hands to the distaff and the spindle, which means not that we're weaving cloth like she would have, but that we're always keeping busy, not for the sake of busyness, but that we are always busy doing the Lord's work. That we're growing in our faith, we're growing in our hope, we're growing in our love, being of benefit to others, and always being engaged in work or activity that is good for others, not only for ourselves. Christ wants to see us growing in wisdom, knowledge, and charity, always reaching out our hands to the less fortunate, to lend a helping hand to those who are down and out. We're there to lift other people up. Remember that outward show means nothing. We can say that we're believers. We can make people think that we are truly Christians. But where it counts is having an upright mind, an upright heart, an upright soul. That means everything. So it may seem unfair when Jesus says, "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will grow rich. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." Christ has given us faith and hope and love. If we are growing in faith, if we're deepening in hope, if our love is growing, if we are growing in wisdom and in grace, and God sees us desiring Him above all else, we will receive more wisdom, more grace, more blessings. If, however, we turn our hearts away from the Lord, even the little bit that we have will be taken away. Where your heart lies, there is your treasure. "Remain in me," Jesus says, "as I remain in you." Our bridegroom says to his bride, "Whoever remains in me will bear much fruit. Blessed are you who love me and walk in my ways."